You are listening to the Practicing the Art of Small Business podcast with Shannon Merlot and Julie Parker. Join their conversations about business, leadership, and the self-awareness journey to greater success.
Welcome to the first episode of the first season of Practicing the Art of Small Business. My name is Julie Parker and I am joined by Shannon Merlot. How are you, Shannon?
Julie, I am fantastic. I'm excited that this is the first of the first of the first, except that it's our third recording of the first of the first of the first, which I think says a lot about what we're trying to do when we run a business. Nothing ever works well on the first take generally, and you've got to learn from it and take from it. And that's why doing this third time round is actually a good thing.
And this podcast is absolutely going to be better done than perfect. That concept, I think we should adopt that concept moving all the way through, because there has been elements of both of us trying to over-engineer everything, make sure everything is perfect, and it just delays that first episode going to air. And so if you are listening to this now, it has been a number of weeks during the COVID period where Shannon and I have been catching up, talking about business, self-awareness, development of teams and business owners. This is the work that we do, and you'll hear a bit more about that soon. And the kind of conversations we were having, we thought, gosh, this is really useful stuff for us. It's bound to be useful for other people as well. And so this idea of this podcast came about. So Shannon, why should people listen to us and you in particular at the moment?
Well, I think whether it's at the moment or sometime in the future is completely up to the listener. I think the reason why people should listen to us is what I really appreciate about you, Julie, is how we're very similar, I think, in the way that we see the world, or our core values in how we operate and what we believe in. But the way that you talk is very different to the way that I talk, and I get such value from having these conversations with you. And so I think that this podcast came about because we were just enjoying chatting to each other and shooting the breeze and talking about business and talking about client challenges and talking about life in general and spirituality. And it was born about going, these conversations are really kind of cool. If anyone else wanted to listen into them and they would be cool, then that would be cool. So I think that's why people should listen to the podcast. Why should people listen to me? I'm going to trust that there's good information in this noggin of mine that's worth sharing. I'm a business coach and I work with lots of small business owners in lots of different environments and industries, and that breeds a fair amount of information and knowledge. And part of what my values are is education and imparting knowledge. So I trust that as we go on this journey, I'll be able to impart some of that knowledge and some of that wisdom. And hopefully that's going to add value to our listeners.
Beautiful. So, and what was your journey to become a coach?
Oh, Julie, the journey to becoming a coach. The short story is that I was working for the Movember Foundation. My last employed job was with the Movember Foundation, and I was so lucky to work for such an amazing, amazing organization. For those who don't know about the Movember Foundation, I don't know where you've been living, but it's one of the very, very popular men's health charities around the world. I think it operates in more than 21 countries around the world now, but certainly when I worked there, over 21 countries around the world. It supports programs for well-being for men, so prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and mental health for men. So it's a fantastic charity. I was very honoured to be involved in that organisation, and I was working in prostate cancer programs. So money that was donated to the Movember Foundation was then funded into programs for prostate cancer research. And I was in charge of a bunch of projects around the world. And I was thinking about what my next step was. And what really drives and inspires me is happy workplaces. Having seen the difference between how well I was working for an organization such as the Movember Foundation and comparing that to other organizations that I'd worked for, which were not so good, I really started to understand the difference between the power of those two. So I was starting to think about what my next step might be in terms of providing support to workplaces to actually improve the mental well-being of their workforces. And I guess the universe had a part to play in serendipitously putting a few things in place in front of me. I started coaching people, and then the business sort of grew and developed, and I now work with small business owners, and my passion is to really work with leaders and help them be better leaders, because I know that they can, if they're a better leader, they can have a much more positive impact on their team members, and that impact can then impact the environment that those team members operate in, so their friends, their family, the people they go home to. And so my desire is to have that ripple effect. So that is the short story, although it sounds like a pretty long story.
It's a long, short story. That's an interesting long, short story.
That is excellent.
What about you, Julie? What brought you to where you are today? Because I'm a business coach, but you're also a business coach, but you operate in a very niche market. Tell me about that and tell me about how you got there.
Sure thing. Well, my niche market is dental practices. I've worked in dental practices from a young, early school level of 17 years old. I'm now nearly 50, turning 50 in a month's time. I know I don't look it. But
I was about to say, you look gorgeous, Julie, gorgeous.
And I started as a dental nurse, dental reception, went through all of those traditional roles within a dental practice. And then in 2003, when I was 33, I decided to buy my own dental practice. Without realising it, I was the first non-dentist to buy a practice in Australia back then. And I owned that for 10 years. Now, those 10 years were such a wonderful self-development, understanding how team members work together, understanding what the market wants. It was such a wonderful journey of learning once I embraced the work side of it. And then when I sold that in 2013, I thought, gosh, how brilliant am I now? I know everything. People should learn from me now. So I went into dental practices as a consultant.
If no one picked up on that sarcasm tone of Julie's, and I think that comes from the fact that if you're a business owner, you are always on the journey.
Yeah, you're never there.
Never there.
You never get there. That's absolutely right. And that's one of the things that I actually love about the journey. It's like the self-awareness journey. You are never completely self-aware, have ego totally in check, have the exact right impact on the world around you. We are constantly learning, constantly growing. And if we weren't, surely we would become quite complacent and bored and dissatisfied with life because we had no sense of achievement or progress. So I really do love that journey. And when you and I reconnected, we used to be Toastmasters together at different clubs and we met up every now and again through contests. And then we reunited again at a presentation at the Centre of Optimism. And my husband, Charles Coves, was presenting, and he's a brilliant man. And you got to meet Charles and experience him for the first time. And Victor Purton, the director of the Centre of Optimism. It's a wonderful organisation. And we were reminded by how much we really did resonate with each other and on board with the way each other thought. So then the friendship started and COVID started. And our conversations online started, and we both come from different backgrounds doing similar kind of work, yet have such a different perspective, a different take, and different experiences and training with all of these areas that are involved with business ownership, entrepreneurship, team management, marketing, all the sort of things that make up a small business, that we found our conversations really enlightening, and we both had takeaways every single week. And that's why we started to think, well, maybe we should record these sessions. Mm-hmm. And so with this Practicing the Art of Small Business podcast, Shannon, what are we trying to achieve here? Who's our niche market, for example?
I'm glad you asked me that question. You must have been reading my mind, because if you didn't ask me, I was totally going to ask you. So
I love it. Great minds think alike.
Well, I guess because you and I both work in small business, that small business arena, we are looking at small business owners, entrepreneurs, and leaders who really want to grow, So one of our big passions is that growth mindset and putting ourselves forward to go, okay, I just learned something new that might have been a bit uncomfortable, or I need to learn that new thing that might be a bit uncomfortable, but embracing the uncomfortable. So we're really talking to those people who want to grow great organizations, who care about the culture that they're creating in the organization, know that they can either have a positive or a negative impact on the world. And we would love to be attracting those people who want to have a positive impact on the world. So because I think we want to have a positive impact. I don't want to talk on your behalf, Julie, but
that's fair. Yeah. Given the two options, I think having a good impact over a damaging one, destructive one, would be ideal.
Ideal, yeah. And look, don't always get it right. I think we're going to be talking a lot about business ownership. So although we are talking to leaders and perhaps people who don't own a business, because we understand the unique challenges of owning a business, we are probably talking to those people who are business owners and who are on that journey and know what it's like without even having to explain it. What the ups and downs of running a business are. There's just an inherent there's so much that goes on. There's so many decisions to make. There's so many challenges, and it is a nonstop growth journey. So talking to those people, is there anything that I've missed there, Julie?
No, I agree with you. And the thought that jumped into my head was that with small business ownership, I'm sure with large business ownership, but I've never owned a corporation, so I can't really say from experience. But with a small business journey, everything has an emotional attachment. And so when you're going down the marketing path and you're constructing marketing campaigns, the emotional attachment is, if it doesn't work, I haven't done the job good enough, I'm not in line with my niche market's needs effectively enough, I'm not creative enough. So all those wonderful voices that go on in the brain, when you don't make a proper leadership decision, then you say, oh, my gosh, I've got so much to learn with that. I'm so incompetent in that space. That was a bad discussion that I had with that person. It seems like everything has an emotional attachment to it that helps make us feel like the business ownership journey is filled with trauma and difficulty and challenge, and that it's difficult to navigate your way through all the things you know you need to do, but you're feeling like that there's an emotional energy that's pulling you back because you just want to get things done in a competent and successful way. And part of the purpose of this podcast and part of the vision that you and I have or had for it when we were creating this was making that a more enjoyable experience. How do we stop putting the negative emotional attachment onto things? How do we maintain a high sense of motivation throughout all the ups and downs and complexities of running a business? And you and I have learned a lot from each other and from all of the books, all of the podcasts, all of the webinars, all of the experience that we've had with existing businesses. We learn all these new ways of doing things and new perspectives to bring to the table. And I think that is going to be a very useful and helpful thing for the listeners out there to experience and possibly apply whatever resonates with them to their business world and personal world as well.
I think you've really touched on something there, Julie, because one of the things that is often said to me with the business owners I'm working with is that the value that they see in our conversations is normalizing their experiences, is that business ownership is a really lonely journey. And very rarely as a business owner do you get to be completely vulnerable and completely honest about how tough the journey is. Because if you're talking to friends, if they don't run a business, they don't get it. So you're just like, yeah, business is fine. You know, it's up and down. It's a little bit challenging and I don't know how I'm going to pay, payroll this week, but that's okay. You don't often have those conversations with your partner, depending on the relationship. But I know for male business owners, often they don't want to create instability in their relationship if things are not great from the business perspective. So they're a bit nervous about talking about some of the more complex challenges or the big picture worries that they might have. I think that also those decisions about people, there's that vulnerability or that there's that challenge when we're dealing with our people between making a logical decision and knowing what's a good logical decision, but then not having the or being held back by the emotional components that you talked about. So there's that challenge of actually, you know, if you talk to, let's say, a big picture mate and they'd just say, oh, just fire that person. It's like, yeah, but you don't get it because actually I know I've met their partner, I've met their kids, I know that this is going to impact their ability to put food on the table and I'm going to be responsible for that. Mm-hmm. So being a business owner is a really tough journey, and I think that us being able to talk about those challenges will help to normalize those experiences and make it a little bit easier to know that you're not alone and you're not isolated. So I hope that we can bring that to the table as well.
That's fantastic, because it is a dual journey. So there is all of the how to market, how to read your market, how to manage people, how to create a great environment for everybody, how to lead well, how to organize the business structure, all of those things. And they are very black and white things. Mm. So those sort of things, and they're very easy to learn. You look in Google, how do I run a successful team? Millions of responses will come back. Mm. And so there's all that stuff that you go, okay, that's just a matter of getting enough time to do the research, apply things and follow through on them. But then the other journey that we're going on alongside that is that emotional journey, our own personal self-awareness throughout this journey. And that's what makes it a challenge. That's what makes it difficult, and also what makes it glorious and passion-filled and satisfying and giving us enthusiasm to bounce out of bed every day and do this wonderful thing that we're so passionate about. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the tasks, it's the emotional attachment to the task. It's our emotional journey, our self-awareness journey throughout that. So part of this podcast is going to be taking people on the self-awareness journey that we've already been on, but also we're continuing to go on together, mm. all together throughout mm. this as well. And so we're really wanting to also at some point create a bit of a forum where people, our listeners, our niche market, can tap into that and tell us what is happening in their world, so we can talk about those situations on upcoming episodes and make sure we are always covering the topics that are most relevant to people out there.
Mm. I think that's a really good point, Julie, because you and I get paid to give advice. So what we really want to do is offer to our community the opportunity to communicate with us, to tell us what's going on in business and in life, and we can use that as a way of providing information back to our audience to say, here's what we would do, here's some ideas, here's some considerations that you might want to take to solve that problem or look at it in a different way. So we really, really, really want to encourage anyone who's listening to get in touch with us and to talk to us. We'll respond somehow.
We will respond, especially if they use our email addresses or telephone numbers, which are going to be in the show notes on each of these episodes. So it's going to be nice and easy to contact us.
And I suppose we're throwing around the idea about whether we want to have some sort of Facebook community. I think we're going to wait and see what the audience says. We'll put it to the audience and vote.
That's it. And we'll just kind of, we'll grow organically to a certain extent and be in response to what seems to be needed out there. And what we get more feedback around things, we're just going to be speaking about whatever topics our clients are raising with us in the previous week, and we'll be talking about the journey that we've taken them on, that we've personally moved through, because with every new problem that we help clients manage and with every repeating problem we help clients manage that we then become more elegant with our management of it, we're always learning, and it's worthy that those topics are worthy of discussing because they are common themes that many people go through.
Absolutely. We've got a few pillars of topics that we are going to talk about though. So depending on the mood, we know that we will be talking about, we're going to talk a lot about personal development, mindset, our own growth mindsets, what it takes to actually step up at the next level. And the reason why that's going to be quite a large focus, I don't know what you believe, Julie, but I certainly believe that being a good leader is very much about being a good human. And the more that we develop ourselves as humans, the more that we're going to be better leaders. So it comes hand in hand. We'll also be talking about leadership, Julie's going to share with us her analogy between parents and parenting and leadership, which I think is really, really good. I think we'll hold that off until we actually do a leadership podcast. Sounds topic.
Good. I love building suspense. Awesome. You've got to listen into it.
Stay tuned. Or if we've got lots of episodes out and this is the first time you're listening to us, find that one first because it'll be amazing. We're going to, you touched on business structures, but more, I think what we're talking more about is strategy and how to build that bigger picture, that how to set the vision of your organization and use that as the guiding principles of decisions that you make in your business, your hiring decisions, who you're hiring, things like that. We're going to talk about culture, teamwork, people. Especially if you're growing a business and you're working with people, even if they're subcontractors, I think deciding the culture that you want to foster in your organization is huge. And even if you are outsourcing, if they're representing your business in some way, shape, or form, you will actually be setting a tone with how they work with you and you work with them. So that's really culture as well. Would you agree, disagree on that?
I totally agree. And we'll be investigating deeper into these sort of issues as to the relevance, why it is important that there is an understood set of behaviours and attitudes of a group of people and how that impacts how well, how effectively they work together and then produce the end product, which in itself the business owner always has, for example, with dental practices, when I had my dental practice, and I know with every other dentist that I've worked with, they have an image in their head of the kind of way they uniquely deliver the services of dentistry to patients. And so too, if you sell a widget, you've got a particular vision of how that widget performs and is sold to clients. And when there is a collective team, either all on site or all in separate countries and outsourced, how crucial it is that there is a core understanding of a value of a purpose in order for everyone to be able to move more seamlessly towards those goals.
And things like our values sit into that as well. So we're going to be talking about why values are important. I'm a massive value-based business advocate. I pretty much try and bang on about it in most conversations until we've got values really bedded down. And once I've worked with business owners and we've gotten clear on those values and embedded them into all the processes in how the business operates, it's at that point that the light globe goes off and the business owner says, oh, right, I get it. So it's like, oh, I get why you're talking about values now. Oh, and I see how that works. I see, yep, okay, I got that. So anything to do with culture, we'll be talking about values and how to set values and things like that somewhere along the way. We haven't figured out the full structure yet, but that's part of the journey.
Yeah, that's what life isn't all figured out yet. We'll also be talking about marketing and how to develop and understand your niche market and how to attract them a little bit better as well. You've got a magnificent program around that as well.
Yeah, my background is in marketing and PR, and one of the things that I find really interesting when I'm out there in the ether is how complicated marketing is made to sound for business owners. And so business owners often I've experienced, especially in the early stage of business, a spending of energy, resources, money into things that aren't actually going to get a return on investment simply because someone's been told that they need to do it and without actually fully understanding what marketing is. So my big passion is going to be about demystifying marketing and Wonderful. Supporting business owners in this podcast and also what I do in my business is demystify marketing and really make sure that you are doing low-hanging fruit. So making sure that your marketing efforts are low-hanging fruit and that there's a good purpose to the reason you're doing certain things. So we'll talk more about that. But if it's worthwhile giving a example of what I mean by this. I don't know how many times, Julie, and it's different in dentistry because it's a allied health, very much a location-based marketing strategy for SEO. But I know for a lot of other business owners, they'll start off literally in the first conversation. So I've been told I need to pay for SEO, or I've been told I need to set up a social media. And I'll say, okay, but who are we talking to? Oh, these people. Do those people look for your services on SEO or Google? No, they generally go via this way. Okay, so why would you spend money on SEO or social media? Oh, because I read somewhere that I need to. Well, no, you don't need to do anything unless it's going to get you a return on your investment. And so this is the stuff that we really want to be questioning. You've limited time, energy, and resources. Time, energy, resources being people and money. What should you be doing? How do you get the best return on that investment? So you can tell I'm already pretty passionate about it, huh?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I love anyone that says, you don't have to spend an enormous money, amount of money there. There's a better way. That sounds like wonderful advice. I think a lot of people start listening just from that.
Yes. If anyone is looking at paying $30,000 for a marketing plan, stop right now. Listen to the marketing podcast.
Listen to that episode and you'll be wiser for it and richer for it as well.
Absolutely. Not to say that a $30,000 marketing plan isn't worth it, but if you don't know why you're doing it in the first place and it's not going to solve fundamentally the problem that you have, then don't do it.
Mm, nice. Nice. Yeah. We'll also be going through just other strategies that are really going to help you, you know, how to manage goals, how to make sure you put a plan in place to achieve your goals, how to identify your goals for any coming financial or calendar year. So anything that's got to do with how to help your business be more successful and how to have a happier journey yourself throughout that process and how to have a better impact on the people around you, both your clients and your team and all your stakeholders, that's what you're going to find here. Yeah?
Julie, that pretty much is the intro, outro of our podcast right there. That was so well said. That's exactly what we're doing here.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to be thrilled to have everybody on board and listening all the way through. Keep communicating with us on what's going great, what we can improve upon, what we can include in future episodes. This is a wonderful learning journey for us as well as you guys. And so hopefully we all move leaps and bounds in terms of our awareness and development and business success. So I look forward to speaking with you next time, Shannon, on episode 2.
I very much look forward to I always look forward to speaking to you, Julie. So looking forward to that then.
Fantastic. See everybody next time.
Bye, everyone.